Hey y'all, this podcast is meant for mature audiences only and contains strong adult language. So if you are under 18, be out. We discuss our experiences, thoughts, and tips on ethical non-monogamy from the perspective of a Black married couple. We smart, but we not experts. So this show is for entertainment purposes only. So whether you're working out, driving, or listening to us on your home sound system, enjoy the show.
This is the Black and Kinky Lifestyle.
Okay. We are officially COVID positive, but we're okay.
Yeah, we're fine.
But given that we're on lockdown again, we've had very little to do except for watch television.
Yeah.
And one of the things we started watching was Ms. Marvel on Disney Plus.
Yeah, well, just the first episode, because that's the only episode that's available.
Right. Now, we've been watching a lot of other stuff, which I'm going to get to in a moment. But one thing about Ms. Marvel is that it's been getting review bombed.
Oh, like on IMDb?
Yeah, mm-hmm. or maybe on Rotten Tomatoes. Mm. And do you have an idea of why?
Oh, because it's a POC protagonist.
Yeah, particularly I think a Muslim American protagonist. And there are a lot of people who are just kind of upset with the direction that Marvel and Disney have been going in, PC politics, you know, just sort of getting more diverse characters on the screen. And some people just aren't very happy with that, which I understand.
Because they're racist.
Well, yeah, they're racist. But some of them are racist, but some of them are making a valid argument about how, like, people of color are just being shoehorned into these roles that aren't even that good. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think that's fair for Ms. Marvel, because it's actually starting out to be a pretty decent show.
Oh, saying, like, the actors aren't that good?
Well, so one is the actors. Two is the way the characters are written. Mm-hmm. So, like, for the Star Wars sequel trilogy, the way Rey's character was written, the way Finn's character was written. Right. Like, it's a woman, a person of color, but their characters are just so bad.
Right.
But we're supposed to praise it just because they're people of color. So that's some of the arguments, but then there are some people who are just straight up racist. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, that's how I feel about Reva.
Reva?
I think that's the character's name on Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Oh, she's so horribly written. I'd rather her just not be in the show.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe they'll surprise us in that show. But the reason why I bring up this Disney trend is because Disney got some shit to make up for. Okay? There's a reason why Disney's doing this shit. Mm-hmm. I bring this up because one of the other things I've been doing is, you know, we can't put our son in daycare because he also has COVID, but he doesn't have any fucking symptoms. He's just fucking bouncing around the house or whatever. So every once in a while, I'm too tired to play with him, so I'll put on something on TV. Now, you don't want me putting on no action movies or whatever.
Don't want you to put anything on that's violent.
Okay.
Like, and you will just indiscriminately try to watch violent stuff while he's in the room.
I mean, my dad didn't care when I was little. I turned out fine. Mm-hmm.
Did you, though?
Well, now I watch some pretty sick shit on the internet, so maybe not.
Right.
I had him watching some Disney afternoon shows, like some old school Disney cartoons. You remember back in the day, they used to be like the Disney afternoon, like, you know, between like 3 and 5 o'clock. There used to be cartoons on back in the 90s. It was like a bunch of shit, you know, that used to be my jam, like Tailspin. I don't know if this might have been before your time.
Yeah, I wasn't watching these shows.
Yeah, you were barely alive. But most of our listeners will know DuckTales, Darkwing Duck. Goof Troop came out of this.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about DuckTales. DuckTales used to be my jam. And DuckTales basically featured the character of Scrooge McDuck, who came from the Christmas Carol back in the day, Disney movie. And, you know, Huey, Louie, and Dewey. And, you know, there used to be Donald Duck used to make a cameo. I noticed how racist fucking DuckTales were. So DuckTales was like the show. It was adventures of like Scrooge McDuck and Huey, Louie, and Dewey or whatever. And there was some side characters or whatever. But like, they always had white feathers. They always had white feathers. They lived in this town called Duckburg. And all of the townsfolks were either dogs or birds. You know, there were ducks, you know, duck characters, you know, various types of bird characters. All the birds had white feathers. It's so strange to think about now, because as a kid, like, this was my jam. I never thought about it. But in nature, most ducks aren't white, so what the fuck was that all about? And all the dogs on the show, the dog characters, they were like goofy type characters. All of them had brown skin.
Brown fur, yeah.
Yeah. You have these two species that are living in this town called Duckburg. So clearly Duck is in the name of the town, showing you who's in power. And there are, this shit is deep. I know you didn't watch the show, but like, yeah. I'm going to put a few episodes on and you can check it out. But Scrooge McDuck, the richest motherfucker in town, like fucking swimming in gold coins.
Right.
He has a butler who's a dog. Every other character who's his friend, family member, all of those are white birds. But his butler, the only one he interacts with that's a dog, that is his butler. But here's another fucked up thing. It'll blow your mind. The main villains of the show were a trio of dog brothers. I think they were the Bugle Brothers or some shit like that. I can't remember what they were called. But they were constantly trying to steal this motherfucker's money. Constantly. They were a reoccurring. They were ex-cons, constantly breaking out of prison, had black masks on. Yo, this shit was racist as hell. Yo, Disney got some making up to do, man. So they need to keep on doing whatever the fuck they doing now. They need to get better at it. Fuck that.
I mean, they've been problematic since the beginning, but yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, though, they have. But as late as the 90s?
As recent.
Yes, as recent. Mm-hmm. But Goof Troop was cool.
Yes.
That was clearly a black show.
Yes.
It's just interesting how we attach race to some of these cartoon characters. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because for Podcastapalooza, which we're going to talk about today, somebody in the Whova app that all the Podcastapalooza guests interact with each other asked if, I don't know why he asked this, but he asked if ducks could get COVID or if ducks were immune from COVID. I don't know. I still don't know where that question came from. but I found it really trippy that. Yeah. That happened at the same time as I was writing the notes for this cold open.
Does he got COVID from a duck?
A lot of questions.
There are a lot of questions there.
All right, let's start the show. This is the Bomber.
And the Bell.
So, in today's episode, we're going to talk all about the crazy-ass shenanigans of Podcastapalooza that happened in Palm Springs. There were a lot of shenanigans, and we cannot get through all of them in a single episode. On our Patreon, we've actually did a play-by-play on each day. So, if you want the details of what went down in Palm Springs, I suggest you sign up for our membership, which will be in the show notes as always. But before we get to that, let's start with our hit list.
It's time for the hit list.
The hit list is basically a list of folks, celebrities, semi-celebrities, people we just seen around the block that, you know, we might like to get down with. There was all this hoopla over a film, a new film on Hulu called Fire Island. And this is how I found out about the film. So, like, I follow some pages that, you know, just track pop culture stuff. And so this white lady, this white feminist was, like, getting dragged for talking about this film. And basically she was, like, she was disappointed in this film because it did not pass the Bechdel test. Do you know what the Bechdel test is?
No, what is that?
So the Bechdel test is a test for movies to see if there has to be like one scene where there's two women that are having a conversation with each other, where no men are in the scene, and the conversation isn't about a man, like to show the diversity of the film, that they have included female characters that actually have screen time that's not focused on like a man. Right.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Right. It's some real like feminist shit. Okay. And so like she was mad because this film did not pass the Bechdel test. Now the film is about gay Asian men. Right.
What the fuck do women have to do with this?
Exactly. And second of all, there are a plethora of films that have been recently released that do not pass the Bechdel test. So while this film, which is groundbreaking, because what other film do you know that's about gay Asian culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
Particularly gay men Asian culture. Like, why is she singling out this one film that doesn't pass the Bechdel test? Anyway, she deleted her tweet. She was embarrassed. She got riff filth, all that. So anyway, so I was like, after reading all these tweets and hearing about this, like, I wanted to watch the film, because what people were saying was like, this is actually a really good film, and although this woman was trash for saying this, like, people should just watch the film because it's a good film. So anyway, we started watching the film, and it was like a really cute, like, but also deep movie, and but had some rom-com elements, which made it light and fun. Anyway, one of the main protagonists in the film, his name is Joel Alexander Kim Booster. His actual name is Kim Jun Min. And so he plays this character in the film, Noah, who's kind of the narrator of the story. And he's South Korean. But he was really cute. He got a great body. It was just a fun film. I know it's not for everybody, but you enjoyed it. Like, you found it funny.
Yeah, I actually want to say a few things about the film now that you bring it up.
Okay.
So one of the first, like, movies that focused on a relationship between two men that I watched was Brokeback Mountain. So that was my reference point for films centering around gay men in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And comparing those two films, I realized that Brokeback Mountain in some ways suffered from some of the same things that a lot of black movies did, which is focusing on some of the anti-LGBTQ elements of gay life.
Mm-hmm.
The movie becomes about the struggle to exist in relationship given there's this oppression, rather than focusing on normalizing these kinds of relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This movie, Fire Island, really normalized gay relationships. Like, although focused on Asian gay men, mm-hmm. that particular group, it was like there was no anti-gay shit in the movie. It was just, these were just dudes that happened to be gay that would just live in life this fucking island. So that's one thing I appreciated about the film. I realized about myself when I'm watching movies, I'm watching them with a heteronormative lens,
mm-hmm.
because I'm expecting certain tropes. I'm expecting, you know, there to be two attractive men and women that are probably going to end up together by the end of the movie. You know, there's the male chauvinist, there's the hopeless romantic woman, there's mm-hmm. the woman who plays hard to get, there's the dude who's constantly trying to smash everything. And so I have these archetypes in my head, but while I was watching this movie, my brain had to rewire itself and forget about all of those because they didn't apply to this movie.
Right, yeah.
So when it came to seeing how the romantic relationships in the movie developed, I didn't have much of a reference point. I just had to see it all happen in real time.
Yeah.
And that was a new experience for me. Like, I didn't know who was going to end up together. I didn't know what to expect about what kind of relationships and what kind of preferences people had for partners.
Yeah.
You just kind of saw these people interacting, and by the end of the movie, the way things kind of wrap up, it all makes sense, but it doesn't quite fit the heteronormative archetype. Mm-hmm. So in some ways it was kind of jarring for me to watch.
Yeah.
This is outside of the I don't watch a lot of gay stuff. I don't consume a lot of gay content.
Yeah.
But this movie, I know there are people listening to this like, oh, it's about gay men, I'm not watching that shit. But this movie is actually very accessible. Like, if you're not into the culture, like, you can still watch this movie and really enjoy it. It's not, I don't feel like it's a movie for the LGBTQ community.
No,
it's a movie for everybody.
Yeah.
So check that out. So another movie we saw, anything you wanted to say about this sexy Asian man that you've seen? There were a lot of them in this show.
Like, I mean,
these dudes were ripped.
Yes. Very. Yes. a lot of abs, a lot of pectorals in the movie, a lot of greased up. It was very nice. It was visually appealing, the entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also funny. But I didn't realize that he also wrote, directed, and produced the film as well.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. You can. It is clear that
a gay Asian man had to have written this film. Had to have. Yeah. There's no way you could have written this thing. And anyway, so the other movie we saw that I keep recommending everybody check out is Everything Everywhere All at Once. Now, we actually did a review of this film. I think it was a spoiler-free review on Patreon. And Everything Everywhere All at Once is one of those few films that it's so deep and you can't even put it in a genre.
I would say it's not as accessible. It is not, and not in a bad way, but it's a weird film. Mm-hmm. It is definitely a weird film. And so I think you just have to go into it with an open mind.
Yes, because it does get very strange.
Yeah.
But it is sci-fi, like, deep philosophical family drama. It is everything. Mm-hmm. Is probably in my top five films of all time. Mm-hmm. Because of how good it was. But anyway, very much recommend you check out that film. But there was this one character, I think her name was Joy.
Yeah.
And her real name is Stephanie Hsu. I think she's from California. She's an Asian actress. That was her first lead performance. Mm-hmm. And she is just this really sexy Asian woman, just super sexy. And the reason why I say that is in this film, she wears so many different outfits and has so many different looks.
And some badass looks.
Like, yes.
Yes.
Really, really kick-ass outfits. She would put Nicki Minaj to shame because her outfits were badass. But there were all these really close-up scenes of her face, mm-hmm, that weren't meant to be sexual, mm-hmm, but were really sexual to me. Like, I was like, holy shit, this is sexy. Like, she just had these really serious looks on her face. I think they were meant to be menacing, but they ended up being really, like, erotic. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Stephanie Hsu, super sexy, on my hit list. Holla at me. Check her out.
Well, no, just one thing about the film. The dude from Kehu Kwan.
From Temple of Doom.
Yes. I mean, he wasn't sexy in this film, but he just did a really good job. Like, just his acting in this film is impeccable.
And your man has been out of the business
forever.
Like, what the fuck? For 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So one of our patrons actually listed Alicia Baumgartner, who is a boxer.
Mm-hmm.
So she was born in 1994, 28 years old. So she's a professional boxer. And this chick is just delicious. Black woman. Oh my goodness. Toe up too. Like she is super ripped.
Mm-hmm.
And she can kick your ass too, from Ohio apparently. I want to say, so she's only had one loss according to Wikipedia, but 11 wins. I'll see if I could pull up her Instagram, if she has one. I'm not super familiar with her. But yeah, somebody in our Patreon mentioned her, and I had no idea who this was. We need to do a better job of lifting up our black women who are in athletics. Like, especially boxing. Like, come on, man.
You are listening to the Black and Kinky Lifestyle Podcast.
Hey, fellow B&K fans. I know y'all are enjoying the show, but damn, we have to wait a month for each episode? I don't know about you, but that's way too long for me. That is one of the many reasons I support Bomber and Bell on Patreon. They release content on their Patreon every week. I really can't get enough of their Pillow Talk episodes, where they get real personal. It's like having a backstage pass to your favorite artist. It also doesn't hurt to have ready access to the Bell and the Bomber through their private chat. If y'all want to join in the fun, head to www.patreon.com/blackandkinky and donate a few dollars a month to keep the show going. I know it's for a good cause and all that, but I'm just trying to get my fair share of this sexy ass podcast. Speaking of which, I'm finna finish this episode.
So let us just jump into the show today, where we're going to talk about Podcastapalooza. Now, I'm just going to go through a few things that we learned from this trip.
Okay.
I'm not going to do the play-by-play because there's too much. Like, I had to, like, take notes throughout the week in order to break down what we would talk about in this episode, because I didn't want it to just be a play-by-play, especially since we have a lot of podcasters that'll probably be doing a better job at that anyway, because mm-hmm. they'll probably remember more. I think they were more, we weren't the most sober folks there. So let's just set it up for folks who have not, or are not familiar with Podcastapalooza. Belle, you want to let them know what Podcastapalooza was about?
So essentially it's like a hotel takeover for content creators and the folks that love them. This one was ColourPop in Palm Springs. It was 4 days and 3 nights with all kind of sex positive content creators. There were featured theme parties, there were different seminars, pool parties, playrooms, and everything in between. So yeah, that was the idea.
Yeah, that's right. And the attendees included the two hot wives. So the content creators included the two hot wives, monogamous marriage, average swingers, wanderlust swingers, 4-hour play. Swinger University was also there, bed hoppers with Mr. and Mrs. H. Let me just say, I was a little starstruck at this one because Mrs. H did not quite look how she sounded. Like, Mrs. H is super curvy and like has a bootylicious body. Mm-hmm. And when I saw it, I was like, oh, that's a surprise. I didn't expect, I don't know what I was expecting to see, but that wasn't it. But yeah, so it's interesting how people sound different than you expect them to look. So Life of Spice, who are on TikTok, were also there. So they were among the newest content creators to attend PCAP. So let's talk about some of the things. Let's talk about some of the things we learned, some of the things that were just special about this hotel takeover in general. So I wrote here the anxious fan versus the anxious content creator.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like this was the first time we had interacted with fans that were nervous to talk to us.
Yeah.
Like, how did you feel about the fan energy this time? You want to talk a little bit about that?
I think it did seem higher, but anytime, like, we're, you know, anywhere, I guess, where fans, I'm doing air quotes over here, can interact with us, I'm just like, you know, we're regular people. You know, you can come up and talk to us. Like, it's no, like, pressure or anything like that. I don't know what y'all expecting. Like, we're regular. But it was really interesting. You know, it's an interesting experience. Yeah.
I thought it was interesting that people wanted to give us free shit. That was what was that threw me off. I just did not expect that. So I was at the bar at one point, and somebody wanted to buy me a drink. It was another man who wanted to buy me a drink. And I know it wasn't because he was interested in getting in my pants or nothing like that, but it was just, it was interesting because my response is to just say no. Like, don't worry about it. I could buy my drink, man. Don't worry about it. But so there was that incident, and then there was one point at which somebody wanted to give us a bottle of tequila that we ended up taking. I'm going to talk about that in a moment because it's the best tequila I've ever had. But again, I was like, no, man, you don't got to give that to us. It's cool. But the look on their faces when I would say no or mm-hmm. deny the gesture, like it was they were offended by that. Mm-hmm. So they were like, the bomber doesn't want to take my offer?
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I would feel bad, you know what I mean? So that was interesting. That shit threw me off. That never happened before.
I ain't gonna turn down nobody's drink now. Well, you can buy me a drink.
Yeah. I think he actually ended up buying you.
Yeah, he did.
So it's interesting. So I said, like, the anxious content creator, you know, this is our third time going to PCAP.
Yeah.
And there are many people who go there on repeated visits.
Yes.
What I realize is that given that you see similar faces,
right.
You know, mm-hmm. you see faces, you know, partying, you know, you greet them or whatever, you might see them in the playroom.
Yes.
But what I'm realizing is that through that, I have developed swinger crushes.
Mm-hmm.
So there are crushes that I have. There are PCAP attendee crushes that I have. There's just a few. Most of them have no idea. But I feel awkward interacting with those people. Like, mm-hmm. if there was an awkward interaction I had with, if you were at PCAP and you were female and I had an awkward interaction, like I didn't know what to say or I was really quiet, it's probably because you're one of my swinger crushes. because I'm like, I don't know what to say. Like, I've seen you so many times and I'm just like, so this pool water is pretty warm. You think it's a saltwater pool or a chlorine pool? What's going on? Yeah. So I apologize, but it's probably because you're one of my swinger crushes. But I think it's interesting that there are fans that were anxious in coming up to us, but then there were some people, fans included, that I was kind of anxious and nervous about coming up to. There were a lot of people who wanted to know the real us too. Yes. Mm-hmm. So you had this experience, you know what I mean there?
Yeah, no, people just wanting to get to know us outside of the show, like what we do in our vanilla lives, like what do our vanilla lives look like? And that's, and I think you were talking to somebody about this, but you put it well. It's like they know us more than we know them. And so then when folks start asking more personal questions, kind of like from the jump, it's more jarring for us, but not as much for them, because like they know all about, you know, who we be fucking, how we be fucking, all this other kind of stuff. They listen to the show. And so like, oh, okay, now let me find out this part. But like, we don't know these people, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we're having conversations, but we're, you know, they kind of have a head start on us, right? And so, which I totally understand. Like, you spend so much time with us, listening to us. And so, of course, you want to know, like, well, who really are these people, right? And so you wanted to know more. And it's always genuine. It's not like, you know, people trying to be invasive or anything like that. It's definitely genuine. But it is kind of like, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the thing about Podcastapalooza is that once you have a content creator in a conversation, like, they're not a content creator anymore in many ways. Like, you guys are just having a conversation, and then you start talking about what you do and where you live.
And I would say too, you as a person is very similar to Bomber, right? Like, the divide between the two is not as expansive as it is for me.
Oh, okay.
I think maybe I'm interesting. Wrong.
We haven't talked about that. So I'd like you to expand on that. How is that true for you, but not for me?
I mean, in your real life, like, you're extroverted, you're talking to people, like, you know, you're making friends, like, you are that. Bomber is an exaggerated version of that, mm-hmm. but that's still very much you. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I feel like we have talked about this.
Yeah, we did. But you, but that's not true for you.
No, I wouldn't say that's true for me. Now, I'll say this, like, myself is more compartmentalized. I'm a Gemini, so I would say I have different personalities, and Belle is one of those personalities.
How are you going to blame this on the stars?
Because it's true. I think it's true. Or I see it, or I manifest it for myself in that way. But I would say that while Belle is me, like, that is a part of me, but that's definitely not me every day.
Oh, I see. So when you're the Belle, you're tapping into just one part of your personality.
Right.
That's actually something that people rarely see.
Yes.
Whereas me, it's part of my personality. It's something people see all the time.
Right.
But Bomber's just me on steroids.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Right.
Okay.
And it's funny because when, you know, sometimes, like, by day three, like, I'm on chill mode. Like, I'm on, like, mm-hmm. my regular, you know, regular mode. And so I'll just be chilling, and I'll have, like, people, like, come up to me all the time. They'll be like, are you okay? Is everything okay? Are you sure you're okay? Mm-hmm. Because I'm not the Belle. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not that fully on, because I'm tired at that point. You know, we've been drinking, we've been partying for 2 days straight. Like, I'm just tired, and I'm fine. I'm totally fine. Mm-hmm. But I go more into my reserved introvert self at that point.
Right. I'm just gonna say that you were the belliest Belle during the whiskey tasting was hosted by Casual Swingers. Like. Yes. I forgot what the belliest Belle looks like.
Yeah, that was peak Belle.
You were in the room. You had this sexy ass outfit on, no panties. I didn't even know you didn't put panties on.
Yeah. And it's a dress, but it's like a fitted dress, and it's sheer. It's semi sheer, mm-hmm. So you can't really see, but like, it's also short, and I was sitting down, so I'm pretty sure people saw my pussy.
Oh, my goodness. It was a very sexy outfit. I mean, and it was just a fucking whiskey tasting. Right. So, it's like, what the fuck is going on? So, I hope... I was hoping you weren't taking all the attention away.
I know. I felt so bad afterwards because I knew. Like, and once it got started, there was no stopping it. Because like, at that point, like, I was at that sweet spot of drunkenness. Like, we had been drinking at the pool all day. But, like, you got a little bit of energy back. And, like, I was drunk enough to crack jokes, but like not too drunk that I was sloppy and didn't know what I was doing. So yeah.
Yeah, because I was sitting next to a few folks, and I, because Mickey was giving a lot of history on these whiskeys, and the people I was sitting next to just kept looking at you, and they were tapping me. They were like, look what the bell is doing. It's just so funny. I don't know. Because you had these, because as Mickey was talking, you had these facial expressions, and like you knew some of the history, and you were snapping your fingers or something. Like, you know, you were being his hype man at one point.
Yes, I was.
So moving on. Location of Palm Springs was dope.
It was very nice.
I forgot how beautiful Palm Springs was. Mm-hmm. I just know it was nice. But the mountains just were so close. They seemed so close that you could touch them, which makes it different from a place like Denver, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It was also located in like this downtown area with a bunch of restaurants. There was so much to do.
Yeah, it was.
And then we found a dispensary.
Yeah, a dispensary lounge.
Yeah.
Like it had, so I mean, it was basically a bar. But it was weed. And so, like, they had little couches. They had a game room. They had a stage. So, like, I guess they bring in live music on the weekends and stuff like that. But they had, like, anything you want. You want edibles. Like, you want to smoke, you know, the actual herb. Like, you could do that. They had drinks. They had DAP, which I feel like is advanced weed smoking. I don't quite understand that. But they had a whole DAP bar. Mm-hmm. And if that was your thing, you could do that. But it was a really cool place.
It's called the 420 Bank.
People had told us about it, or people had told me about it, but we didn't get a chance to get there.
That is a spot to go to. Yeah. That's a spot to go to on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So the Mankini Plunge. You want to talk a little bit about what the Mankini Plunge is?
So this started, I guess, it started at the first one or something. Or maybe it's Denver. Not Denver. Where were we? Dallas. So basically the dudes put on mankinis and the women throw dollars at them, and it's a tip for the service staff. So all the donations, the dollars go to the service staff that's serving us all week, the bartenders and servers and that kind of thing. But yeah, they put on these like little skimpy bathing suits and jump in the pool. And so, but the women, like women can tip them, they can oil them up, you know, put sunscreen on them, on the guys and all of that kind of stuff. So one thing we're thinking is one thing that you really like is the car wash, right? Mm-hmm. So where, you know, you have two lines of women who are soaped up and suzzed up and a guy can go through them. And sometimes we've seen the reverse of that happen where the guys line up and the women go through them, but it's not.
Women aren't going to do that.
No. So this is what you're saying was a good alternative because, you know, you can choose who you're going to throw dollars at, stick dollars in their mankini. You can choose who you want to oil up and all that kind of stuff. And it's just a good time.
Yeah. Yeah. For all of those who are hosting parties, some of these, you know, pool parties or beach parties, and you want to do a really cool, sexy lifestyle activity, I think the mankini like plunge or a mankini-esque type thing where you have guys coming out and they're kind of exposed and women can go up and sort of freely engage with the guys they want to engage with, I think is a really good alternative to the car wash because of just the way the lifestyle operates as a culture. Because a lot of times I feel like women are the ones who choose the mankini activity, just capitalizes on that.
Yeah.
Whereas the car wash doesn't give women much of a choice.
No.
And it's really weird because that's not how the lifestyle works.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it also gives guys an opportunity to be sexy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although I didn't participate this year. Maybe next time. All right. Hindsight on lost opportunities. I was thinking about this today and I added it in at the last minute.
Mm.
So have you ever been in a situation where, no, that you probably haven't because you're a chick, so you have good intuition. I talked about this on the show before where there are times where there are opportunities, like there's a woman who's interested and she's sending me signals and I don't really read those signals accurately until like a week later.
Mm-hmm.
So one example I give is like, you know, and this happened a lot in my 20s, you know, I'd be at a party, right? I'd be on a dance floor dancing with a girl or whatever and, you know, getting to know her. And then there's some other girls I might get to know. And, you know, we go to the bar and it's coming to the end of the night and folks are outside waiting for their rides, waiting for their cabs and their Ubers or whatever. And, you know, a girl will come up to me and she's like, I had a really good time with you. And I'm like, yeah, I had a good time too. And then she says something random. And my brain just kind of puts it in a random box and doesn't even read it. And she says, yeah, you know, I really like making pancakes in the morning. And instead of my dumb ass reading that as, oh, shit, she wants me to come back to her crib.
Right.
I'll be like, oh, yeah, I make a mean breakfast myself. Maybe we'll meet up sometime. And then I'll catch it like maybe the next day or 2 days later, like, oh, shit, could have got some pussy that night. There was some shit that happened at PCAP this year that was just like that. There was one girl I just did not read the signals for, like, like homegirl really was giving me the information I needed to know. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't like eye contact, all, you know, just like smiles, just random shit. And I remember her saying, because I think like she thought she might have been on the rag or something, and mm-hmm. she wasn't. And, you know, she came up to me and looked me in the eye and said, yeah, looks like I can have sex. And I was like, oh, that's great. Good for you. You're probably gonna get a lot of that.
You are dumb.
I'm so stupid.
Looks like I can have sex. And you're just like, oh, good for you.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah. Which is really unfortunate because she was super sexy and I wanted to play with her. But, you know, hindsight's 2020. All right. So, but has that ever happened to you in life? Does that happen to women at all?
Oh,
or you
yeah.
just get offered dick so much that, oh, actually, no, it did happen to you. Like, we had a whole threesome opportunity escape us.
Yeah, well, yes. Well, that was, no. That's a whole nother story. But no, it does happen. It definitely happens.
Where a guy is like, hey, I'd like to offer you some dick. And you're just like, huh, I wonder what that means.
Sometimes y'all be confusing too. Most of the time, you all are very upfront. And it's not confusing, but yeah.
When did hindsight tell you that you had a chance that you had squandered?
Oh, well, dudes usually come back around again. It's like, oh, she didn't get it the first time. All right, let me try again.
I'm trying to smash. Mm-hmm. And then you get a load of dick pics.
Yeah.
That's why niggas be sending dick pics. Y'all chicks just don't be getting it. All right. Another thing we learned. Future Floro. Future Floro was one of the theme nights, and it was the best theme night. And I want to do that theme night. I want to run that theme night into the ground because I liked it so much.
I mean, it's basically glow night.
It's glow night, but it was the kind of glow night that I did not... Like, I never, like, we got some visors for this shit.
Yeah. Some, like, glasses, like, Tron looking glow in the dark or light up glasses. You'll see the pictures mm-hmm. on our Instagram or on our Patreon. But yeah, no, it was like, so it was future. So people were like, some people did a really good job. They had, like, battery operated things. I think the differentiator with this glow night, I'll say, is that it's lights, right? Like, a lot of times with glow night, people just wear the neon glow stuff, but then with this, a lot of people had light up stuff, where there was like mm-hmm. light up glasses or shoes or stuff on their shirt, like a lot of fiber optic stuff. Yeah, so it was really cool.
Yeah, it was nice to just look. There was a couple of times where I just stopped dancing and just was just looking at the dance floor mm-hmm. and seeing all the cool costumes. All right, so other thing we learned is our seminar took place in the morning, and I feel
Saturday morning specifically.
Yes.
Which I think is the best time.
Why do you think that's the best time?
Because it's one, before everybody has had a hard night of partying. It's after people have like maybe gone to breakfast, but before they're really ready to hit the pool. So it's a sweet spot. Like, people will show up, they're engaged, they're halfway sober, they can really have a good time.
Yeah. So we had our session. You remember what the
11 on Saturday. Mm-hmm.
What was the topic of our session?
Like how to take photos to make your man look good?
Yeah, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, our session was all about how men can take better photos and make sure them shits are posted on their profiles.
Yes.
Because a lot of these profile pictures are just terrible when it comes to featuring pictures of mm-hmm. dudes. Like there's just very, like, not a lot of energy put into those photos. And so our session was really focused all about how men can show confidence, how they can pose, because mm-hmm. a lot of photos of men just have them standing there, and other photos, especially for my fellow brothers out there, that mean mugging shit. Like, yo, smile in your fucking photos, man.
Yeah.
But this was, I felt like, and this goes out to content creators and non-content creators alike, but I think what was great is that this was the kind of session we could not do a show on. Like, we can't do an episode on it. Like, you need mm-hmm. to be there. You need the yeah. visual aspect of it.
Right.
And I think that's why people enjoyed it so much. So we had people, you know, practice taking pictures of themselves during the session. You know, mm-hmm. I was going around helping people pose. You know, we had a whole PowerPoint where we went through different aspects of photo storytelling or storytelling with images. And one thing I will say on this podcast that I said in that session that I think dudes can use is, when you are taking a photo and posting it, you want to make sure that that photo tells a story about you. Mm-hmm. Now, the story doesn't have to be long. It can just be a statement. Sometimes that statement is just, oh, he looks like fun, or this dude looks strong, or this dude is somebody who likes dogs. I don't know. But the story that your photo tells has to say something. If you're looking at a photo of yourself and you're like, well, I don't know what this photo says, then it's probably not a good photo.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I'm glad that was useful. A lot of folks came up to us during PCAP letting us know how helpful that it was. So we were happy about that. So I wanted to talk about something else I learned.
Yes.
So apparently I was making a lot of chicks just orgasmic on the dance floor in the pool.
Yeah.
Not a lot. I mean, there were like three, but but it was interesting because it made me reflect on just the art, like the art form of making women come in public.
Mm-hmm.
Like, without having to go to a bedroom or the playroom, can you arouse a woman and like give her an orgasm?
Mm-hmm.
And this is really important to me because I talk about this all the time. Like, if there's a party going on, I don't really want to go to the playroom and be gone for 3 hours because right. I'll miss the party. But if you can combine the two mm-hmm. somehow, that would be great.
Yeah.
So have you had the experience of having an orgasm in a public place that in a way that did not require you to lead to a playroom or bedroom? So I'm talking about a club, maybe on a fucking, I don't know, maybe you're in a carnival on a fucking, you know, Ferris wheel or some shit.
Well, there was that one New Year's where we fucked in a vanilla club.
Yeah, that was a little extreme. But you never danced with a guy and just, no, mm-hmm. nothing like that?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, would you like to do that? Think about it. You're grinding and then you guys are getting close and his thighs between your legs.
I mean, maybe. It would definitely have to be like, yeah, in the moment. Like, all the stars align. Like, I'm just really in that mood.
I think that's important to recognize.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in the mood for that, if a guy is just dancing and you have this rhythm, or you guys are just getting really close and you don't necessarily want to leave, maybe you can't leave because mm-hmm. maybe there isn't a playroom. Maybe the hotel room isn't available. Maybe there are people watching y'all, so it would be weird if you left together. What is it that you can do in that moment? Maybe that question actually does arise.
Mm-hmm.
And if that situation does arise and you want to do something in that moment, where
Where does one get the skills in order to accomplish this successfully?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Right? I just got lucky a couple of times. On the dance floor, there's these women who were just like, they were wearing the right outfit, and I did the right amount of squats to be able to hold a position long enough for them to rub their clitoris against my thigh. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, they were able to position themselves in between myself and another man so that while her back is faced to me and her front is faced to him, I could, like, easily guide my hand down her crotch, stimulate her clit or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's sexy, and we're moving, and the rhythm of the music is just carrying us, and a lot of women like that. But I still have yet to, now I'm not saying I'm the master of this shit at all, mm-hmm. even though I believe my finger game is on point. But as far as the ability to stimulate a woman enough in a public setting like that, that is something that I've done a few times in my life, but I've never heard any account of how to do it the right way. And I feel like there is a certain level of skill to do it. Mm-hmm. For example, if a woman is using your thigh to stimulate herself, like, what is the right music to do that shit to? Right? These are questions I was asking myself. Like, what's the right music? Like, bachata. Can you do that shit to bachata? I think you do it to reggae. Yes, you probably can. Can you do it to fucking EDM? Probably not. I don't think so. Mm-mm. Also, what is the right position? If she has her back towards you, like, what's the position to make sure that you can discreetly stimulate her on the dance floor? But let's say you're not on the dance floor. Let's say you're in the pool. What are some things you can do in the pool that can be stimulating? And there could be a whole number of other settings where you can do that. All I'm saying is, I think this is something, and I would urge people to send us messages about this, about their experiences here. I think this is something that a lot of people like doing.
Yeah.
But people don't talk about the right way to do it. Right. If there is some book out there, or there is some account or article or blog that has talked about the art of giving women orgasms in public places, I'd like to see that. Wow, you just never, that was it. Just us fucking in a club. That was your only experience. I'm really, really shocked at that.
In public?
Yes. Like, we've been in a lifestyle for 4 years, and like, nobody's ever touched my pussy on the dance floor. That just never happened before.
To make
I don't know,
the dance floor,
my titties, nothing.
No, you said
when we on the dance floor, we just fucking.
Well, it wasn't fucking discreet. I can tell you that. Yeah. And you was talking about having orgasms. No, I mean, but yeah, it's definitely been fingered and felt up on a dance floor. Absolutely,
but not discreetly.
No,
but I wasn't really discreet at PCAP either.
Well, that's not what you said.
Well,
typically, like, moments, my back is to the guy.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's not, I'm not facing him. My back is to him.
Okay, your back is to him.
Yeah.
So
and we're not necessarily squatting down, because I usually have heels on. So, like, it's upright. We're upright. And I got a dress on.
You got a dress on. Okay, so clothing is a factor.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you have on a jumpsuit. Shit ain't gonna work.
Unless it's crotchless.
That part.
Okay, so a dress. All right.
Yeah, a dress, a skirt, you know. Panties optional. I mean, you can obviously get around panties.
Hell yeah. Well, not all panties now. Wait, I don't know. Like, what if you're wearing granny panties? Like, that's not going to work.
Why are you wearing granny panties on a night out?
I've seen some wild shit in the club. All right. So, okay. So, some sexy panties and a skirt. Okay. Keep going. What's the position? Like, are you bending down low? Like, what's going on here?
No, you're not bending down low. Like, you're either straight up or you're leaning back against him.
Straight up or leaning back against him, and his arm is around the front of your thigh. Is this a finger or a massage of the clit? Like,
it could be either.
It could be either.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm assuming he can't just shove it in there once you've given him the opening. I'm assuming he has to ease his way before fingering. I'm really trying to get an image here.
I mean it depends. Like, how am I feeling? Am I wet? Like, am I enjoying it? How long have we been doing this? How long have we been dancing? How drunk am I?
These are important. Right. These are important questions. Right. So are we so alcohol is a factor here. Right. But outside of that, the length of time of the dance.
Yeah.
Right. So you have to have been, usually, I'm assuming, dancing for a while before you got there.
Right.
Okay. What kind of music is playing?
It's either like reggae or some hip hop shit or R&B shit, something like that.
Okay. Now, careful when you say hip hop shit, you can't really dance like that to all hip hop.
No, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I don't know. There are certain Meg Thee Stallion songs that come on where you just got to leave chicks alone for a second. Step back.
Why?
So anyway, song matters, dress matters, position matters, titties, like touching of the titties and the nipples. Mm-hmm. Like, does that work? Is that?
Yeah. I mean, it depends on like how someone feels about their titties and nipple play. But yeah, I mean, you can fill up on my titties. That'll help.
Okay. At the same time.
Yes.
Okay, now we're talking. All right, that is not going to be a very discreet.
Exactly, dance, that's what right? I'm saying. So, like, but, you talk but about I'm discreetly.
Just saying, but I'm just saying, like, for people who are at lifestyle parties, this is helpful stuff to know. But I still think there's an art to this. Somebody's going to write this book. It's not going to be me because I just don't. I don't have enough experience. I have some. Mm-hmm. But if somebody knows of a book out there, let me know. All right, so best tequila ever. I want to give a shout out to a brother on our that did come to PCAP and introduced us to a great tequila, Diego and Frida. So Diego had this awesome tequila. It's tequila 3030 Cristalano Agave Azul.
Mm-hmm.
Smoothest tequila I've ever had. Like, I've never had a tequila where I could just sip it like it's like bourbon.
Mm-hmm.
Until this tequila. Like, this is a tequila you can sip. It's so smooth. There's no bite, virtually no bite to this tequila. Best I've ever had. I would not shoot this tequila. I wouldn't even mix it. I would just drink it straight. Mm-hmm. But this was the brother who gave us the bottle of tequila. And, you know, at first he was like, yo, you know, you could take the bottle of tequila back home. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I don't know if we could do that. Now, I took the tequila. I was like, okay, I'll just worry about it later. I didn't realize how much we would like this tequila because the bottle was empty after the first day. It was a full bottle down there. I don't even know how we finished it.
But we'd be drinking.
Yeah. We didn't share it or nothing. We didn't like have shots in our room.
No. And, you know,
fucking finished the whole bottle. So shout out to that. Yes. Those are some of our reflections from PCAP ColourPop. Again, if you want to check out our Patreon, we have posted a bunch of some additional content. I think at least almost 2 hours of content on just our PCAP recap play-by-play. All right, so let's move on to today's Facebook fuck shit.
So, this is a little bit of a long story, but bear with me. Okay, so when my ex and I were married, we had trouble conceiving and years of heartache. I thought our marriage was strong enough to survive this. Then I discovered he was having an affair with my sister. We had a huge confrontation, and my then husband and I decided to move and make a fresh start. A few weeks after we moved, my sister gave the news that, surprise, she was pregnant. My ex then divorced me to start a family with her. My parents were also very hurt and angry, but when the baby came, they mellowed and reconciled. My niece is now 5, and I have never met her. We take turns attending family functions because I can't bear to be in the same room as them. Recently, my parents gently asked if I would consider having Easter dinner with my sister. I told them I would think about it, and I really did. I took a deep breath and went on my sister's Facebook page for the first time. There, I saw hundreds of happy pictures of them as a family. My ex-husband kissing her after she'd just given birth, photos of the happy first birthday party, family trips, etc. She was tagged in a status update from my ex. Celebrating another amazing anniversary with my beautiful wife. Thank you for giving me so much happiness and our perfect daughter. I literally vomited after reading that. After 5 years, it is time for me to get over it and try to force myself to at least tolerate their company. Fuck no. Your ex-husband and your sister is trash. Like, pure hot garbage.
Damn, yeah. Damn. So, I mean, I'd be really curious as to the circumstances around him going after her sister, or mm-hmm. the circumstances about him and her sister getting together,
right?
And how that was exposed to her. So,
She found out that her husband was cheating on her with her sister.
Because mm-hmm, mm-hmm. we don't have that information.
No, we don't have information.
Okay, so I'm going to be the devil's advocate here and say, what if, right, they, you know, the original pair got together
mm-hmm.
and, you know, we meet family members all the time,
right.
You know, meet, you know, friends and family members. But what if that was really true love? I mean, what if it was true love? It was like, oh shit, like, you're amazing. And, you know, we have this connection and it's so deep, it's so heavy, that I want to be with you. And I need to tell my wife this.
Well, maybe, know. Like, yeah, maybe if it still would have been,
I mean, it would have been awful
as hell.
Yeah.
But having a conversation would have been,
it would have made it a little better for you if that was the case.
Like, microscopically.
Yeah. Right.
Y'all still been dead to me.
Right.
Like, whole family dead to me.
I mean, it's terrible. I feel like there's, you know, it would be a terrible scenario and there's a right and wrong way to do everything.
Yeah.
But in this case, I'm like, if they're happily together and they have this family, and I'm just like, I really think she needs to move on and work on moving forward away from this anger and hatred and resentment she may have.
Mm.
Because in the grand scheme of things, it really will not matter. At the end of the day, this will not matter. Like, this is 5 years ago, 10 years from now, 20 years from now,
yeah.
Like, people are going to die. And, you know, it's, you know, it has me thinking, like, all this shit happens throughout our lives. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it hurts. And, but, you know, this nigga got a whole family. Like, those kids are going to grow up and become adults themselves.
Right, yeah.
And this conflict between her and her sister is going to be minuscule mm-hmm. in the grand scheme of the trajectory of him and the generations that come.
That's a pretty big conflict.
I mean, no, it's a big conflict, but I mean, as time goes on, it's like, yeah, he left me and he fucking found your mother, so, you know, they live happy ever after. You know, she's going to find some new dick and she's going to have a new family.
She does need to move on with her life, like, yes. And find somebody to fall in love with, and that's the right partner for mm-hmm. her, and, you know, do fertility treatments or adopt somebody, something, do some shit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still fucked up.
No, it is. If you fell in love with one of my friends or family members, I would need, and then you were like, you know what, look, bomber, I love you, but I love this man, and I think it's time for us to end this relationship because I want to be with him.
Mm-hmm.
I would need years of therapy.
Oh, yeah.
Just to stop myself from murdering both of y'all.
Right.
First of all, yes. It would be violence prevention
yes.
at that point. And then I would need years of therapy to just get over it yeah. emotionally.
Yeah, you ain't got to worry about that happening ever.
Really? You don't understand. You underestimate the power of true love.
With your friends or family? Who? Like, no.
You just say that because I don't got friends or family that really do it for you, but I'm saying.
Exactly, yeah.
I don't know, some long lost Idris Elba looking nigga could come out of nowhere talking about I'm your fucking half brother.
I might have to, you know, mm-hmm. but no. I love you.
Well, how would you feel? I mean, I don't know. I'm thinking about some of your family and friends right now.
I would kill you. Yeah.
You would kill me.
Yes.
There's no therapy that would stop me.
No.
Okay. It's okay because you got nobody I'm interested in.
Well, that's good.
You're very careful with your friends and family.
Wait, how am I going to be careful with my family, though?
Oh, but yeah, that's true. You're lucky because you're the prettiest one.
Don't say that.
It's true. All right. All right. Anyway, quick patron shout outs. A shout out to our new Patreon members, Sebastian, Nicole, Mark, and Rebecca.
not so vanilla 312, a California girl from Texas, I think, or a CA girl from Texas.
Yeah, California. Yeah.
Bobby and Kiki, Nino 313, and AJ, thanks so much for joining our Patreon. We hope you enjoy some of the content that we're putting out there. We're always trying to find new ways to make things better. And just so everybody knows, we have multiple tiers on our Patreon. I mention this now because, you know, one tier of Patreon allows folks, you know, to get these shout outs, but also you get access to all this library of content that we create on a weekly basis. So it's like a weekly show we have on Patreon. But also if you sign up for the $5 tier, you also get access to our band private chat. A reason why I mention that now is because it's been getting more active as more people have been joining it. So it's been especially active this week because Nick has been stuck in because of COVID. So I've just been in there just talking a lot. But people have really been bringing up some interesting conversations. So one of the things that came up in Patreon was about dating. And there are a few people in our group who have been thinking about, you know, evolving in their lifestyle journey. So just a few examples is one person who mentioned that him and his wife are now looking for a third partner. They're trying to be part of a triad, but maybe not necessarily a triad, but just somebody to join the relationship, to have a good time with, to travel with, and all of that stuff. But what I thought was really interesting about how they reflected this is that the dude in the relationship was like, you know, this is something he's been interested in for a while, but he needed to make sure he was financially able to take the demands of having two women now. Right. Uh-huh. So if we go out to dinner, you and me, Belle, going out to dinner, like I'm paying the bill, like, we go out on one of these lifestyle trips, like I'm paying for the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you got to like, you know, a lot of dudes out there like, yo, it'd be fun if I had another girl with us and shit. And like, yeah, it'd be a lot of fun. But nigga, who's paying? Because that's another plane ticket. That is another body in your hotel. That's another person who's going to be eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner with
y'all.
And
drinking.
Yep. And drinking. And she's real comfortable now that she got another partner with her. You know, you got these two girls together. They going to be taking shots together, nigga, because she... They're going to be taking that hot, you know, that top, what do they call it?
The premium.
Yeah, premium drinks. Top shelf. There top we go. Shelf, yeah. Shout out to Foreplay. Let's just reflect on the financial dynamics for a second. Because, like, if you have a single date with a single male, bring an MFM into the relationship. You know, I know a lot of people out there that are like, nah, I ain't interested in bringing no other, like, dude into the relationship, man. I'm not trying to have no MFM. I'm trying to get more bitches in this bitch, you know? Like, yo, if you bring a male in, you could have that nigga paying for shit. Like, there are benefits to that, yo. Mm-hmm. So shout out to some of that Patreon discussion. Another thing that came up was just how hard it is for some of the single ladies out there looking for men now. Mm-hmm. And so they might actually benefit from looking for couples instead, because a lot of the good men are unfortunately in relationships because they're good men. So so that might be something to look out for. So a lot of interesting discussions happening in our private chat. So if folks are interested in joining that, I do recommend jumping on that second tier. Just a few things I want to say in reference to Patreon as well. We are thinking about new ways of making the show better. So we have bought some new recording equipment, and there is some new audio editing programming that we are going to be incorporating. And yeah, I'm going to be redoing the website. So just letting you all know that these Patreon dollars are like being used to make the show better. And we really do appreciate you guys supporting the show in that way.
Shout out to, I think, Swinger Help, because they got us hooked up with that Desire affiliate link.
Oh, yeah, they do.
So shout out to y'all, Swinger Help. Y'all really down for the cause. And also, if y'all are interested in going to Desire, go ahead and hit the link on our website. Mm-hmm. Just so Desire knows that Black people and people who listen to Black people podcasts be trying to go to Desire.
Somebody that was at PCAP brought to our attention that when they go to Desire, there have been times where they have run into other Black people. Sometimes it depends on when you go. Now, we made it clear during that episode that we were talking about a very particular time that we were going, although I still
you know, there might be more black people here and there, depending on what time you go, but it is still going to be a predominantly white crowd. There's no doubt about that. Some folks have a good time, and we had a good time at Desire, but some folks have a fabulous time at Desire, which I wouldn't call our time there fabulous, but it was good. Like, we would go back, so it was good enough. So I wanted to give a shout out for Urban Swingers, who will be having their Cabin Fever event from October 28th to the 30th. So Cabin Fever, erotic getaway in Tennessee. Check them out. We'll have a link to their link tree so you can check out their events.
It was great too, because somebody asked us about them at PCAP. So y'all out here.
All right, y'all. So I hope you enjoyed all of that. I just wanted to say a big thank you for Kate for putting together such an amazing event that we call Podcastapalooza. We always have a really good time at these events, and I wanted to make sure that that was well emphasized here. At Podcastapalooza, we have such a good time. The guests that come to Podcastapalooza are super awesome. I mean, this is a fun group. And what was interesting at this Podcastapalooza is that there were so many new attendees that hadn't been to one before. And there's just something about the energy at Podcastapalooza. The content creator presence, the activities, and just some of the creative minds that pull it all together end up making it really great. So this, for the Bell and I, was number one, the best Podcastapalooza so far. And we can't wait to attend the next one. If you have not been able to take advantage of Podcastapalooza and like come and just have a good time, honestly, you don't know what you're missing, or maybe now that you've heard this episode, you do know what you're missing. And if the opportunity presents itself again, you should just really go, because it's really, really, really great.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show. Please do check us out on Twitter and Instagram at Black and Kinky. You can also find us under the same name on Cassidy, APG, Amore Getaways, and Patreon. Check us out on Facebook and YouTube under Black and Kinky Lifestyle. Feel free to email us at black, kinky, lifestyle@gmail.com or call and leave a voice message at 937-462-0744. Bye. Black and Kinky, Black and Kinky, Black and Kinky Lifestyle.